Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland and Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
I was at a ministerial retreat this last week. It's a gathering of pastors from around Prince George out of Nest Lake. And in a group full of pastors, the presenter we brought up for this retreat, in one of the workshop sessions, told us a story of how he'd been at a similar sort of retreat, a gathering of pastors, and this man who he didn't know had come up to him and introduced himself like this. He said, "Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a liar. Can you imagine if we introduced ourselves with that kind of transparent honesty? Hi, my name is, and I'm arrogant. Hi, my name is, and I'm a people pleaser." Well, the presenter actually asked us to do this in this room full of pastors, and asked us to introduce ourselves to the person next to us in that way. Now, that room's a pretty safe place. We kind of all know each other. And, we all know that we're all broken in different ways. Every one of us is sinful in different ways. Every one of those pastors would have agreed. And so we did. And for me, something that I've been wrestling with, something that I've come to really realize about myself in the last little while is that, I'm a fearful man. This shows up in different ways, and I'm afraid of different things. I'm afraid of lots of different things. I'm afraid of rejection, and how this can show up is that sometimes I find it hard to engage in meaningful relationships because I'm afraid that if people find out who I really am, that they won't like me. So I like surface level. I like that safe distance, right? But I introduce myself and say, "Hey, my name's Steve, and I'm afraid." and that fear can show up in different ways in different relationships too. Like it can show up in controlling behavior. If I feel unsafe, if I feel afraid, well, my particular brokenness leads me to want to control situations, want to control things so that I feel safe. And I mean, this can show up in my work life. It can show up in family life. It can show up in my marriage. Literally anywhere I feel that fear, that manifests in controlling behavior. It happens more than I want to admit. But ultimately, what God's been working in me is, with my particular brokenness and my particular sin here, is that it reveals that I don't actually trust God in the way that I want to. Now, I'm learning this about myself. God's been showing me these things. And by his grace, I'm working on these things. But the reason I bring this up this morning is because when I read the story we're going to look at, when I read this, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of find it hard to relate to Jesus here. Because today, we're going to look at Jesus when I think he should have been at his most afraid. This is just before the cross, just before he heads to the cross. But we're going to see something this morning. We're going to see in Jesus' prayer here that he trusts the Father to bring him through this ultimate ordeal, this ultimate pain to glory, and that we can trust Jesus in the same way to bring us to the Father. So let's read together from John chapter 17. If you've got a Bible, turn there now, but it'll be up on the screen behind me as well. So John 17, we're going to read from verses 1 to 5, and it says this. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. This chapter, we're going to spend 3 weeks here in John chapter 17, is remarkable. We don't have a ton of recorded prayers of Jesus, and this one is the longest. There's three kind of sections to this prayer. We're going to look at all of them over the next few weeks. But in this section, Jesus prays for himself. And what does he pray for? He prays for God's glory. God's glory is the primary thing that Jesus prays for as the primary purpose of his mission on earth. It's to bring God glory. That's been Jesus' mission all throughout the book of John that we've been in this last year and a bit. That's what the cross will bring about. And if we want to be like Jesus too, that must be our mission as well, to bring God glory. And this is not groundbreaking stuff. If you've ever gone through like catechism in a more like liturgical church, you'll know the answer to this question. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I mean, that gets taught. That's been taught for hundreds and hundreds of years as one of the basic fundamentals of Christian faith. So this is not anything groundbreaking here this morning. But Jesus' chief concern in this prayer is for himself is to bring glory to the Father. He knows the end is near, and so the most important thing for him is the most important thing for all of us. And if we want to be like Jesus, our purpose is found in God's glory. Our purpose is found in God's glory. You know, one of the things, I don't know if this has happened to you, but one of the things that happens, I think, as we age is that we start asking ourselves some tough questions, you know? Like, what's the point? Am I making a difference in the world? Do I exist just to consume goods, to watch a screen and then die? Like, I think most of us begin our journeys with big dreams, right? And life just doesn't always cooperate with those big dreams. There's a reason that midlife crises are so common. It happens as we reevaluate our lives, as we reevaluate the dreams, the hopes that we once had, and how they have or haven't come to pass. That's not necessarily even a bad thing. One of the things that I appreciate about Scripture is that it's honest about those big questions that we all have. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes famously starts the book of Ecclesiastes with an existential crisis. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. It's hopeful stuff, isn't it? You know, philosophers have been trying to wring meaning out of existence beyond the truth of God for ages. And I don't know, if you've ever asked those big questions and you thought, you know what, maybe I'll go to some philosophers to try and find meaning in life. Well, have you ever tried reading some philosophers like Sartre or Nietzsche? It's just depressing stuff. Just depressing stuff. Even the most powerful and wealthy people in the world can't find meaning in their power and their wealth. At the 2016 Golden Globe Awards, Jim Carrey took the stage to introduce the nominees for Best Motion Picture Comedy. But his speech was more than just an introduction to the nominated actors. It was, in fact, an introduction to the inner searches of his soul. He began with a personal introduction, but it quickly turned into a painfully honest critique on his search for meaning. So after being introduced as two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey, he proceeded to say this: "Thank you. I am two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. And when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey, going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir. I dream about being three-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey, because then I would be enough. It would finally be true, and I could stop this terrible search for what I know ultimately won't fulfill me." Now, everyone laughed at what Carrey said, and you know, he's got that YouTube video has millions and millions of views. People are still laughing about it, but the source of his humor is the truth that it conceals. He was joking about the absurdity of trying to find that ultimate fulfillment, purpose, and meaning in the things of this world. Now let's contrast that with Jesus' purpose. Jesus lived to reveal and glorify the Father. Everything he did, from the miracles he performed to how he confronted the religious leaders about their empty religiosity to his death and resurrection, everything he did was to demonstrate who God was to the people of Israel. Everything he did was focused on bringing God glory. That was his purpose, obedience to the Father, and in doing so, revealing God and glorifying him. And so, friends, if we want to live a life of meaning and purpose, we will only find it in living for something other than ourselves. We will only find it in living the life that you and I were created for, a life that brings God glory. You and I did not create ourselves. We are created beings. And we have been created for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory to the one who created us. When I think about our world today, the world that my kids are growing up in, I think if there was an overarching value, I think if there was an overarching thing that we shoot for, it's this: it's to be the most authentic versions of ourselves. And there's some truth to that. We should strive to be authentic, but not as a substitute for purpose and meaning. Because if I try and look within myself to find meaning, to find purpose, I know that what's within me isn't great. It's brokenness. It's sin. It's my own limitations. It's fear. And that's not the purpose I was created to pursue. So that's the first thing. Our purpose is God's glory. We also see in Jesus' prayer here, we see essentially the heart of the gospel, don't we? And it reveals this: our life is found in God's grace. Our life is found in God's grace. Jesus prays this: "For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." You want to hear something incredible? God decided something that I don't know that we fully grasp. I don't know that I fully grasp it in the way that I want to. But it's this. God decided that eternity would be better with you than without you. God wants heaven with us. The Father wants eternity with us, not as we are in our brokenness, but whole in Him, alive in Him. God loves you and gives eternal life freely to all who know Him and know His Son, Jesus. And that there's something I want to emphasize here. Jesus prays this. He gives eternal life. Do you hear that word? Gives. That's incredible. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we have to pay for. It's not something that you or I can influence in any way at all. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of love. It is a gift of grace. And sometimes I think we struggle with this because it doesn't seem fair, does it? See, God in His wisdom doesn't operate with just one definition of fairness, but there's two. And if we're going to understand grace, we need to understand also His justice. So there's, as we think about this concept of fairness, the most obvious form of fairness is the strict administration of justice, right? Where everyone gets exactly what they deserve, no more, no less. That's probably what we're most familiar with when we think about justice, when we think about fairness. But there's an alternative type of fairness that's achieved through impartiality, where everyone is treated the same, regardless of merit. So, for example, two teams flip a coin to determine who gets the ball first in a game. The outcome has nothing to do with which team is more deserving. A coin is flipped because the result is impartial, and that's what makes it fair. So randomness is fair when it shows no favoritism, while justice is fair when it does. In what sense, then, is God fair with us when it comes to His grace? Is it with the justice of a gavel, or is it maybe more like a coin spinning through the air? Well, Jesus talks about this when He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." See, according to Jesus, God is fair, not with a fairness that rewards the deserving and punishes the sinner, but with a fairness that demonstrates the equal value that He places on each one of us. God is fair by being uncompromisingly indiscriminate in who He loves. He loves you just as much as He loves me. And I think that's amazing news. The criteria that govern the distribution of the rain and the sun is the same by which God determines what circumstances land in our lives. The determining factor is never, ever earning God's favor, but His boundless, amazing, impartial love. The life we are called to, life eternal, life abundant, life worth living, life with purpose is found in knowing this God. And the absolutely crazy, wonderful, amazing thing is that you and I are loved so much by God that He wants to spend today, tomorrow, and eternity with us. I know I don't deserve that. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I don't trust God the way that I should. And yet, He still feels that way about me. I don't know what you've come here with this morning. Maybe it's the shame of addiction. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's despair. Maybe it's a deep feeling of unworthiness because of words that have been spoken over you. Maybe it's the shame of knowing that you've caused someone else pain. But I want you to hear this morning, that you are loved by God and that His grace is absolutely for you no matter what you came in with this morning. And I know that this is true for you, because I know that it's true for me. Our life is found in God's grace. And that grace comes from knowing Jesus. Lastly, when I look at Jesus' prayer here, I see that our home is found in God's presence. The final part of Jesus' prayer that we're going to look at this morning, he says this: "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." I mentioned Sartre earlier, famous philosopher. If you're looking for depressing philosophy, now, that guy might be the most depressing. There's not hope in a lot of his writing. He famously said that hell is other people. I don't know if this is fair or not, but I think his view on life is illustrated with this quote. He says, "Every existing thing is born without reason, prolongs itself out of weakness, and dies by chance." Whew, I'm melancholy with the best, but that's a bleak worldview. But even though this dude was an atheist existentialist, there's a quote that I find just absolutely fascinating from him, and it's this. Now, this is an atheist saying this, so this is what he says. He says, "That God does not exist, I cannot deny. But listen to what he says next. That my whole being cries out for God, I cannot forget." Now, I obviously disagree with him about the existence of God, but even the most hardcore, depressed, atheist, humanist understood that the longing that he felt was for God. It's tragic to me, because I believe that God longed for him too. I think every one of us shares that longing for home, that longing for God. Jesus here, as he prays, is looking forward to going home. Do you ever feel out of place in this world? Do you ever feel like this world just isn't what it's supposed to be? Our world hasn't made it very easy to be human, has it? Everyone wants something from us. They want our talent. They want our treasure. They want our time. We work and we work and we scroll and we scroll. None of it satisfies. None of it feels like it's what we were created for, because it isn't. See, I think what we all long for is home. And that home is the presence of God. We can experience that here on earth. When we practice our faith, when we quiet ourselves before the Creator of the universe, when we love others the way that Jesus loves, when we listen for that voice of Jesus, when we hear the Spirit leading us, we can experience that here. But I don't think it'll be like when we experience His presence fully. Either when this body shuts down or He returns. But I think we need to be aware that this world is not our home. This inhuman world, this world filled with brokenness and sin, doesn't feel like home because it isn't. Our home is in God's presence. And can you hear the longing in the voice of Jesus as he prays here? Now, I think he understood better than us, but as we follow his example, I think we get into trouble when we make this world our home, when we think of these concerns as the most important thing, when we forget that this is not our home. Our home is in God's presence. I think it's entirely possible for us to be too comfortable without the presence of God. Relationships can't thrive without trust. Now, if you've experienced broken trust in a human relationship, you'll understand this. But what I want to leave you with this morning is this. Do you trust Jesus the way that he trusted the Father? Do you trust him to give purpose in your life by pursuing his glory? Do you trust his grace and his love to give you that life that you were created for? Do you trust him to bring you home? I told you at the beginning that my name's Steve, and I'm afraid. But John 17, Jesus' prayer here for himself. I don't see any fear. And I want to be like Jesus. I want to have purpose in pursuing God's glory. I want a life lived in the grace of God. And I want to go home. I want to be with Jesus here and forever. Can we trust him? Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your son, for giving us hope. God, for this truth that you want to be with us for eternity, not in this brokenness, not in this sin, but whole in you. And so, God, I pray that as we think and as we consider these things, God, that you would encourage our souls, that you would encourage our hearts, God, that you would bring us to a place where we pursue your glory, where we live life in your grace, and where we remember that this world, with its distractions, with its temptations, can never satisfy. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.